Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to Point of View. My name is Pimelo Motina. Thank you so much for being with us. Lots coming up on the show. You may be watching. You may be watching what's happening in Syria at the moment. We'll touch base and we'll go there for a few minutes. That's going to happen just after 9 o'clock. We're going to have a much, much broader conversation around the NHI. My guest will be Dr. José Letlape. They've produced a paper. He's now part of the cohort at Action SA, and they have a massive comprehensive paper on the NHI, so he'll talk to us about that. But you may have been stuck at the airport today. You may have relatives whose flights have been delayed and all of that. The question is, what happened? AXA SA today says it has already managed to resolve the issues at the aircraft refueling systems that was giving them problems earlier on today. We'll talk to them and see what exactly happened there. But I also want to hear from you if you still have delayed flights. 086-00-00959. If you want to send a voice note, you can do that on 063-688-0959. Access General Manager Jabulani Kambule is on the line with us this evening. Mr. Kambule, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pumelo, and good evening to your listeners of Kaya FM.
Have you resolved the main reason for the delay earlier on this afternoon?
Yes, the main cause of the problem today has been resolved. I'm happy to say that.
Mm-hmm. And maybe break down to us what actually happened.
So what actually happened, Pumelo, is that we had a valve that ceased to operate. And the reason for that is that when a valve ceased to operate, it actually shut fuel, and we were not able to have fuel from the fuel farm into the apron and refuel aircraft. So what happens is that in these valves, you have a gearbox, mm-hmm. you have a shaft, mm-hmm. and you have an actuator. So the shaft from the gearbox to the actuator in the valve is the one that failed. It actually broke down because that shaft actually regulates the open and closed movement of the valve. Mm-hmm. and allows fuel to go out and shut it off. Mm-hmm. So what happened is that this shaft, it is the component that actually failed that caused us to have this 3.5 hour delay today. However, I'm glad to say that our engineers did manage to replace the broken component, and then we were able to go back into operations 3 hours later.
Surely things obviously, you know, break in systems like these. This is not unusual. But why is it that you didn't have a backup plan?
So when you say backup plan, we actually did have a backup plan. Mm-hmm. However, when you do your preventative maintenance, you do your tests to make sure that you prepare for operations the day before, and in the morning you start operating. Such breakups do happen. Now, it so happened that when this breakup was happening, we are also in the process, there's a project of replacement of these valves on site. So we're supposed to be replacing both the valves. Mm-hmm. So the one that was being replaced, in fact, let me say the secondary valve, is already being dismantled in order to put in a new one. And this breakdown happens on the alternative line that was active at the time while you were replacing the other valves. And the one that was active is the one that actually broke. But fortunately, we did have spares to replace the broken component, and we were back in operation. Of course, the inconvenience to the traveling public, the passengers of the airlines themselves, airports company South Africa itself, is very unfortunate, and we profusely apologize for that.
So you would ordinarily have two valves. One you were already replacing, and this one, the second one, is the one that collapsed. Was it during maintenance? Were you aware that it needed some sort of an upgrade? Or just maybe give us a sense of the reasons behind this particular breakup.
So what I'm saying is that it's not about maintenance. So the valves are maintained. The preventative maintenance program is followed to the T. The tests are being done every day. So in anticipation of things breaking, like mechanical components, what you will do as your contingency is that you will have spares in place in the event a component breaks. So you do anticipate that in mechanical equipment, you will have a breakdown. And the plan you will have to make sure that when the breakdown happens, you will buy spares, have spares in place, so that when the breakdown happens, you are then able to replace the particular spares.
I understand that. I'm trying to say, do you now know why the breakdown happened? Yes, it can happen. Yes, you had spares. But is there a reason why the breakdown actually happened?
So there could be. The reason for the breakdown could actually be two things, according to a diagnosis by the engineers.
Mm-hmm.
One could be the normal wear and tear of the particular component. Or secondly, it could be the pressure, because the system is it's a highly pressurized system. So it could happen that the second cause could be that the shaft itself and the actuator, it might have taken a knock from the valve itself when it was shutting down, and it knocked the particular component to breaking down. So it's just one of those things. We are still, though, investigating. The engineers are still trying to find out what exactly was the actual cause for the breakdown of that particular component.
Since you are already embarking on a project to replace the one valve, does it mean this was also is also due for replacement? You said it could be wear and tear. That kind of gives me the sense that perhaps it's also due.
Absolutely. So the problem to replace all the valves and all the aging infrastructure at the airport, that capital program has taken place. We are in progress with the replacement. Like I'm saying, that those two particular valves, the project to replace them is already in progress, because we do know that they have actually reached their end of life and they are due for replacement.
Didn't something similar happen around 2020?
It did happen in 2023, and it was a different valve. So this one is actually a different valve on a different line as well. And as of that period, that is why we have embarked on a capital program to actually replace all these particular aged infrastructure.
You obviously speak of the fact that, you know, now you're back online, but of course there are massive delays because you sort of have to catch up on lost time. And, you know, with regards to many, many different stakeholders, passengers, airlines and the works, are you going to be part of compensating all these stakeholders?
So what happens is that the airline itself and the passengers will actually have a conversation or arrangement. So ordinarily, when this kind of incident happens, there are arrangements that take place between the airline itself as well as the passengers to make sure that they're actually being looked after, or there are alternative arrangements to put the passengers on a later flight and so forth, because these are actually incidents that are well known that they do happen in a live operational environment.
As a business, do you then compensate the airline?
No, we do not compensate the airline.
Except that this is your doing.
If you say this is our doing, I would disagree with you, but this is our doing.
Mm-hmm.
Components break. It's not something that we would say that it was a deliberate act. The component broke. We had spares. It took time to replace those particular components. So I wouldn't say that it is our doing. Absolutely not. It's the same as you take your car to a service, they service it, you drive down the road 2 kilometers, 500 meters, and your gearbox breaks down. Would you say that that is your doing? I don't think so.
Yeah, but I'll also be carrying the costs of making alternative arrangements, and the dealership is likely to say, we will give you a courtesy car.
Absolutely. There are insurances in place for such events with the airlines, with the airport company, and those arrangements, like I say, are between the passenger and the airline.
Let's go to Xolile, if you don't mind, Mr. Kambule, who's called in with a question. Xolile, you're in Protea. Good evening and welcome.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
I'm good. Welcome, and Mr. Kambule is on the line.
Yes, I heard what you said. If my car breaks down, I get a courtesy car. Fair enough, right? But the original part, if you had to ask Mr. Kambule, was when last was it serviced, and where is the original part from? Because you should have a spare part in case of, you know, in case of emergency, like today.
Were you affected, Polile?
I'm saying you should have a part that, in case of emergency, if something happens in between. And then, like you said, maintenance, when last did they maintain the system?
Maybe let me give him a chance first. Were you affected, Xolile, today?
Technically, yes.
Okay.
Because is it SAA?
This is AXA. So they are the people that manage the actual airport.
Oh, okay. Now imagine, if I had to say, let me put a little seed in everything. What if they started testing every emergency exit in the airport, if they actually really work?
Mr. Kambule, maybe let me give you a chance to respond to that.
Okay. Hi, Polile. And once again, we apologize for the inconvenience that you went through. And to answer your question, we have a very robust maintenance program on all of our infrastructure. And that
can I ask you something, Mr. Kambule? Can I ask you something?
Are you going to allow me to finish responding?
No. Okay, I just want to interject quickly. When you talk about a program, it means it's something in process. When you talk about an actual backup, it means it's already there. So there's a difference in a program, because like the whole time it's always a project. But it's never been project. All projects must end. But this should have been already a backup. Backup means the project is done, everyone has been trained. In case the fuel line leaks, who's going to come repair it? You understand? That's all what I'm asking.
Go ahead, Mr. Kambule.
Are you done? Okay. So let me proceed. We have a maintenance program. There's a preventative maintenance program, and there's a program going forward. So preventative maintenance happens that you do what needs to be done to your equipment in order to keep its lifespan intact and keep the equipment going. And you've mentioned the issue of spares. Yes, indeed. We did have a spare shaft, which is the shaft that we actually use to replace the broken shaft. Now, when you are replacing that broken shaft, particularly in the fuel farm, there are procedures and processes that need to be followed. You need to depressurize the system in order to make sure that the pressure is lower. There are certain precautions that have to be followed in order for you to carry out that particular repair. And all those steps were followed in order to be able to repair the breakdown. So we did have a spare, to your question, that we used to replace. We have trained and highly trained technicians and engineers who are 24 hours on site in the fuel farm, and they are all trained and they are qualified professionals who are carrying out these activities at our airport. Thank you.
I'm going to let Mr. Xolile go. Let's just talk a bit about you know, how your backlog is looking at the moment. I know that you have now solved the problem, but the delays continue. Can give us a sense of, you know, how bad the delays are.
So at international, I'm glad to announce that the backlog at international departures has actually been cleared. And then we are now currently at 80% cleared the backlog on domestic flights. A couple of flights have been cancelled at this point due to the fact that smaller airports do not operate beyond certain hours. But we are 80% have cleared the backlog. Some of the aircraft are still going out. We are fortunate that most of the routes are between OR Tambo and Cape Town, as well as OR Tambo and Kinshasa International Airport in Durban. And most of those flights are still clearing now because those airports also operate too late. So we are anticipating that in the next 30 minutes or so, that backup will actually be cleared.
AXA General Manager Jablan Khumalo, thank you so Kambule, I beg your pardon. Thank you so much for your time. I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'm going to be speaking to aviation expert Lyndon Burns. Aviation expert Lyndon Burns has been listening to my conversation with AXA's General Manager Jablan Khumalo, and obviously has been monitoring what's been happening over the past couple of hours. Mr. Burns, thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Hi, Sandeek. Good to meet you. Good to speak to you at least this evening.
Thank you. I mean, I don't fully understand the operations of a system like this, but I'm not sure I fully understand who takes responsibility for this. The response by AXA is that, you know, the airlines and the passengers themselves will sort something else out themselves, but Should AXA themselves also be taking some level of responsibility in terms of remunerations and losses of money?
I wish that was the case. Unfortunately, they do enjoy some protection under the current laws and regulations. The problem is, you know, we all pay whether you are a passenger, and it's added into it's one of the little taxes and charges that's added to your. You pay a passenger service fee, which is a fee, statutory fee you pay to the airport's company for the pleasure of using its services. Mm-hmm. And the airlines pay, over and above that, they pay AXA statutory charges for parking and landing and using the airfield and the facilities as part of that infrastructure. So, you know, airlines don't get any compensation from the airports company at a time like this, which is, you know, frustrating because it's a fragile industry. At the same time, they're the ones who've got to, you know, deal with the customers. Mm-hmm. It's their customers at the end of the day, their passengers. And nobody wants to upset and frustrate and aggravate them. And similarly, you know, there's a bigger picture here. Just, you know, if we look beyond the immediate inconvenience and the frustration and the disruption to people's daily lives, if you think about it, you know, an airport operates like a ballet. You know, it's all very choreographed activity. Mm. An aircraft lands, it gets taken to a particular position, it's allocated a particular gate. And a parking stand where it's got a fuel truck waiting to refuel. It's got a honey cart waiting to empty the lavatory tanks and replenish it with potable water. You've got catering equipment. You've got cleaners. You've got all these things. You've got people getting on, people getting off, customs, immigration, baggage handlers, all these different moving parts, all working, meant to work in synchronicity. And if you suddenly throw a spanner in the works or, you know, pull out one of those key elements, everything grinds to a halt. Mm. And this starts to impact far more widely. You think about it, if you were involved in shipping, let's say, pharmaceuticals or perishable foods that have to be in temperature-controlled environment when they're waiting for connecting flights, and now all of a sudden there's a five-hour delay on a hot summer's day, what happens to that stuff? what happens to all the people who've missed flights or missed connections and baggage and people going on holidays or people on business travel? Yeah, there's a whole lot of ripple effects that go out through the economy. And an airport, and I just want to come back to something you asked Jamalani about, which was contingency. And I was just, before I came on this call, I spoke to the CEO of an airport in the UK to ask about contingencies in this sort of event. And he said to me, the standard is to have three or four contingencies, not one. Because you've got to have a contingency in case your first contingency doesn't work. Fails, and another one and another one is best practice. And it might not always be having a spare part. It might be having contracts with refueling tankers so that you can run an operation where you get the fuel in. It may take longer.
Even if the valve has collapsed.
Things moving. Yeah,
got you. And so, I mean, one gets the sense that their response is, we've done everything, to the book, there is nothing else we could have done. And you can hear, you know, not just by me, by callers and everything, that it's not quite landing. We do think that as an international, a landing strip, we should do better.
I think so. Part of it also comes, and I speak here also as someone who does crisis communication training for airports around the world and for airlines. And the key thing to landing the message and being credible believable, if you like, is that you've first got to acknowledge the crisis yourself and then talk about it honestly and frankly. And this took a long time today for the facts to start emerging, when there was no real need for that. There was no need for kind of trying to, be nice about it and sweep it under the carpet and just sort of downplay it. It's just, OR Tambo is a critical piece of economic infrastructure, not just for South Africa and Gauteng, but for the entire sub-region. And so you've got to deal with these things up front. Yes, it's embarrassing. Yes, it's frustrating, but it's happened. So then you've got to take the public and all your stakeholders into your confidence and say to them, this is what we are doing at every step of the way to make the situation better and to try and sort it out. And that was lacking today in the communications. It really was until much later in the day.
So let's talk about what has actually gone wrong, the valve story. I was under the impression that something like this had happened in 2020. He corrected me, saying 2023.
Almost 2 years ago, December 2022, in fact.
And so, did we learn anything? What's your take?
Well, that's very interesting because there was an assurance given at the time, 2 years ago, that one of the lessons learned was to become more resilient, and that AXA had committed to putting in place a backup valve or backup line with a bypass. And it doesn't seem that that's actually been executed. It's not quite clear whether that's been bogged down in red tape because they're needing to comply with all the necessary governance and compliance rules, and is this a typical issue of FMA and all those other things that get in the way of expediting something that maybe in the private sector would be dealt with more expeditiously. So it's not 100% clear. And again, this is where we need frank, honest answers. Talking about maintenance programs, that's all very good. It sounds all impressive. But at the end of the day, when the chips are down, what's happening? What are we doing? And you can't expect, airlines and everybody else just to sort of, swallow that. Everyone knows mechanical machines break down every now and then. We know that, that they're not infallible. But at least, be upfront about it from the get-go. It will help enormously to diffuse the situation to a large degree. I think people do understand when you tell them the truth and tell them honestly what's going on. But, to go for several hours without really knowing is really not fair for anyone, I don't think.
You point to a few things, Lyndon, which which for me are of slight concern. The fact that this is, I'd say, quite soon after the last one. And therefore, whatever it is that we were supposed to learn, as you said, from your conversation with someone who was running an airline, you should have had maybe 3-4 contingency plans. It doesn't seem like we have them. We didn't seem to communicate clearly or maybe even frankly with passengers and airlines and so on. This may have an effect on the reputation of AXA internationally, or am I maybe, you know, exaggerating?
Of course it does, because, you know, what's your reputation? It's the sum of everything that you do and say, and what other people say and do about you and how they respond to that. So, yes, it is. You know, and look, AXA, generally speaking, is a pretty well-run ship. You know, they've done well. They win a lot of accolades,
yes,
and deservedly too.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are problems, and one of the big issues has been coming out of the pandemic, and I know it's nearly 5 years ago now, but there still hasn't been adequate re-resourcing, if you like. They're still losing people and skills. I mean, it's still, and whether it's AXA or some of the other government agencies that are responsible for things like immigration, I mean, we still have endless queues at security and immigration at the airport. Which, frankly, there's no excuse for in this day and age. We've still got airports in the country that can't even open after 5 p.m. Access airports because they don't have the second shift of fire brigade anymore.
Sure.
Because they let the firefighters go, you know, retrench them during COVID.
Sure.
So, again, you know, if we want to be a competitive, dynamic, aspirational, sophisticated economy that is growing and creating jobs, we need to be really putting a far greater emphasis on the significance of air transport connectivity and what that means for our economy, and paying a lot greater attention and resourcing that properly. It's still treated very much as something for the elite, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, government did not prioritize it in the economic development policy. They talk about SAA, that's all very good, but, you know, frankly, we need reliable, efficient air connectivity for trade, for tourism, for commerce, for imports, for exports, and for growing the economy. And if you look at the successful economies around the world, they're the ones that have done that. You look at the Dubais, you look at the Singapore, look at Turkey.
How does AXA come out of this? Because, you know, really to your point, for years they've been quite incredible, won a lot of awards and so on. And so, you know, they've been the gold standard for a long time. But I'm concerned about the recent events, and they seem to be repeating themselves. You spoke of skills shortages, or at least loss of some of the really skilled people. They are struggling to come out of that COVID era, and maybe comms could be much better. How do they then rebuild confidence out of this incident?
I think it's going to take some honest, open discussion, I think also with the public.
Mm-hmm.
It needs a very proactive communications campaign.
Mm.
You know, they're going to have to obviously engage with industry on this as well. There is, you know, AXA are generally very good in that sense. They've set up, when we went through the crisis, the previous fuel supply crisis,
yes,
was around fuel stocks and reserves they had. They did set up a fuel forum, which does meet regularly, but its focus was always on, you know, the resilience relating to having sufficient fuel. You know, on hand at the airport. This is a, you know, it's a bit of a tangent for them. They're going to have to sit down and grapple with this one. And I think, you know, airlines quite rightly deserve answers, because yeah, the customers also want to know what's going on, and there are lots of businesses out there that rely on air transport, whether it's for moving people or goods around. So it does require, you know, AXA to come down and engage openly and honestly on it, as uncomfortable as that can be. Yeah, but that's why the people in the high positions get the highest salary. You know?
I don't think they're going to like us saying that. Appreciate your time and all your insights. Thank you very much, aviation expert Lyndon Burns. Thanks so much for that.
you missed it live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.